If you want to turn to Isaiah 11. That's it, get your refreshments ready. Could be here for a while. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the communion that we've just had, Lord, and being led in a way that really sort of emphasizes what you did for us at the cross, Lord. And we just want to pray this morning as we continue to look at your holy word, Lord, that you really engage with us through the Holy Spirit this morning to do us good, to build us up, to encourage us. And yes, challenge us where we need to be challenged in our lives, not because you're pointing the finger, it's just that you want the very best for us at all times. So Lord, do me good, speak through me what you want to say, just encourage each and every person in this room and listening on the podcast later. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Isaiah 11, just verses 1 and 2, they're only short. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from its roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of the counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Now, as a teaching team, we're sort of moving on to the next sort of phase in our journey with God in this part. And Mike was speaking last week about waiting patiently on God and not actually just sitting there waiting in our chair, but actually actively waiting for God to do things in our lives. So we thought, well, the next sort of part of the series is looking at the gifts of the Spirit. But we decided actually to actually just step back from that a little bit as a teaching team to actually think, well, actually, who is the Holy Spirit? To start with, and we'll be looking at where is the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our communities, and how we stir up the Spirit in our lives. But this morning, I've got 20 minutes to speak on who is the Holy Spirit. So this is a highlight of what and who the Holy Spirit is, because we could spend the next 12 months looking at who is the Holy Spirit. So what I'm about to say, I will say, because I believe this is where the Lord is just wanting us to look at. But if you really want to look at who the Holy Spirit is, go and look for yourself. Because it's encouraging to actually realize who the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is probably the least understood of the Trinity. See, amongst the myths and mistaken concepts of him, he's described as a ghost, an incidental figure that appears every now and again. He's even described as somehow second class to God. Somehow, because the Holy Spirit isn't actually tangible, he can actually be found something to grasp hold of. But the Spirit is not a concept or a distant force. And it's vital that the church realizes who the Holy Spirit is. If we are here to seriously think about continuing to build his kingdom here on earth. In ancient Hebrew, the word ruach is often used to identify the Holy Spirit. And ruach actually means either spirit or wind. And like wind, you cannot see it, you can't touch it, and you can't catch it. You have no control over it, and nor can you possess it. However, you can actually feel its presence. And I wish it would blow harder than what it is now, because it's very warm outside. But actually, when the wind blows, I don't know about you, but it actually calms things down. It actually makes us feel cooler than what it is actually is. It's not by seeing it that we need to be fully aware of what it can do. If you weren't here last week when Mike spoke, he spoke a little bit about the weather and high pressure and how still it feels. And we've known this from the weather we've had outside, how muggy it feels. And how, I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely shattered. Not because I've been doing things, it's just because of the heat and the stillness of the weather. I have no sort of energy to do things. And it's not because I've retired and sat down doing nothing. It is actually, honestly, to do with the weather. Just to clear that up. But what the wind does, and I don't know whether you've noticed this, but it shifts things. It gets things out of the way. It gets rid of the oppressive things that the enemy wants to put on us. And we can't function when we're like that. It shifts obstacles like fear and addiction and all those things that we've been singing about and people are testifying against. The Holy Spirit is like that wind that shifts it out the way. You see, God's heart is for his creation. His heart is not for church laws. It's not for church religion. His true heart for everybody is a true one-to-one and corporate relationship with him. But you cannot have a relationship with a thing, a concept, or a myth. You can only have a true, meaningful relationship with a person. And that is what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a person. And just like every other person, the Holy Spirit has emotions himself. He has feelings. He can become angry. He can become sad. He can become insulted and even blasphemed against. In Isaiah 63:10, it says, "But they rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit." Matthew 12:31, "But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven." Acts 7:51, "You stiff-necked people, why do you always resist the Holy Spirit?" And even in Hebrews 10:29, "He outraged the Spirit of grace." And yet, despite all of this, how we treat him sometimes, the Holy Spirit's heart, through his grace, is to build a relationship with us all. He's intentional. He's active. He brings comfort. He loves you and me. He's here to guide us and instruct us. And he's here to listen to every prayer that we pray. And he intercedes for every prayer that we pray. When we don't know what to speak, he will actually speak for us. He teaches, he testifies, he communicates with us if we're willing to listen to him. He knows our joy as well as our sorrows. He is truth itself. And yes, he will always convict, not because he's finger pointing, but he wants the very best for us. To go and blow the obstacles away that restrict us from living for him. Nehemiah 9:20 says this, "You gave your spirit to instruct us." John 15:26, "When the helper comes, it's the spirit of truth." Romans 8:26, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes for our groaning." Romans 15, "By the love of the Spirit, we strive together and he meets us in our prayers." And our spiritual gifts are empowered by the one and only same Spirit today. And these are the qualities that distinguish the Holy Spirit as a person. Because only a person can truly understand our own emotions. our own feelings, our own weaknesses, our own temptations. And the Holy Spirit is revealed as a personage all throughout Scripture, as we've just seen. You see, he suddenly didn't appear at Pentecost and says, "Hi guys, here I am." He has been active since Genesis 1:2. When we read about him hovering over the waters, he was the very key to creation beginning. In Exodus 31:1-5, we read how he empowers Beelzebul and Oholiab, and I thought I'd get that all wrong, to do good works. And as we've just read in Isaiah 11:2, he's there to prophesy about Jesus the Messiah, where the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. And he's doing that not in a past tense, but he's doing it all today. He is creative, he is empowering, and he prophesies. And we can see through the Scriptures that Holy Spirit as a person is like that wind. It is constantly on the move. And these are the foreshadows of the Holy Spirit's redemptive works in the New Testament. He was present throughout the life of Jesus, all through his life on earth. From his birth, to his baptism, to his death and resurrection, through Jesus' joy and even Jesus' sorrow. And Jesus didn't even move a muscle in his ministry until he was full of the Holy Spirit. Until those three persons of the Trinity were all working together as one to reveal the character of God to this world. And today, the Holy Spirit wants to have that personal relation with each and every one of you in this room today. He wants to be wholly present in our everyday lives, the good, the bad, and even the ugly. He wants to be up front and center in everything we do, involved and active in everything we say. Why? So we now can reveal the character of God to the people out there who don't know him. See, I don't know about you, but without the Holy Spirit in my life becomes a little flat. Whether that's in my prayer life, my Bible reading, my faith in action seems to have no true impact. It's the movement of the Holy Spirit in me that empowers me to be the person God created me to be. I live a resurrected life that's planned for me, not in a future event, but in the here and now. You live a resurrected life, and don't let the enemy tell you any different, because you are empowered by the Holy Spirit that dwells in every believer. In the New Testament, where the manifestation took place, the Holy Spirit was up front and center with every partaker of it. We see Mary, Elizabeth, John the Baptist. We see Zechariah prophesying. We see Jesus in the desert. We see the disciples in the upper room. Look at Peter at Pentecost. The guy who puts his foot in his mouth and starts to speak. Suddenly, he's giving the sermon of his life, not because of who he is, but by the empowering of the Holy Spirit as a person within him. And then we think of Stephen as he's stoned. What did he see? The glory of God right in front of him. See, without a life full of the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to build his church. It's impossible to who we should be, meant to be, created to be. See, the church filled with the Holy Spirit needs to be the norm. It's not a one-off thing or an option. If we are truly church, the Holy Spirit has to be central every day of our lives. whether that's individually or as a community together. Otherwise, we unwittingly limit the works of God's in our lives if we don't. Because you know, the person of the Holy Spirit is the church's greatest ally. He is the one that's fighting our battles already before we even know we're in a battle. He's the driving force behind the growth of the early church. And you know, he hasn't stopped there. He wants to continue to be the driving force in this church and every church up and down the land, in every church across the nations. He wants to be the driving force. But he needs to be present in us to do so. And how do we see ourselves as individuals grow as a community? As it says in Isaiah 11:1, we need to start bearing fruit. And that's what Isaiah, through the Holy Spirit, prophesied here for Jesus. That he would go and bear much fruit. With the presence and the personal relationship they had together, and the Trinity working together, that's where the fruit was born. You know, when a farmer grows a crop, its desire is to receive the fruit at harvest time. But to do this, he needs to have a relationship between the farmer and the plant he's looking after. And the fruit doesn't appear overnight. As Mike spoke last week, it's a patient waiting game for that fruit to appear. And while he waits, he doesn't just leave the plant to it. He sows it in good soil to allow it to develop good roots. He waters the plant, feeds it, nurtures it, so it could be the best it was created to be and bear as much fruit as it can. The farmer knows without a healthy plant, there is no fruit, and ultimately there'll be no harvest. And the disciples' desire here was to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit grow as well. But in order to do so, they need to be at personal relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit to do so. And we're called today to do the same. Because one day there will be a spiritual harvest. Just as the farmer waited, actively waited, and looked after the plant so it would bear much fruit, the Holy Spirit today wants to do the same with us. He wants us to be rooted in him, wait upon him, where he'll personally water us, feed us, and nurture us. We need to learn to love and serve, adore and respect the Holy Spirit, just like we would do with any other person. Because the person of the Holy Spirit is like that wind. It is on the move continually. It is active and it is real. And as he was and still was today and still will be in the future, the Holy Spirit will continue to do the same. He is active from Genesis 1 right to Revelation 22. He wants us to rest upon what he prophesied in 11:2. Rest on him to bring a spirit of wisdom, understanding, of counsel and might, of that knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He wants to guide us, teach us, comfort us, counsel us, intercede for us. He wants to communicate with us and, yes, convict with love for the best of us. Because in these everyday of our lives, do we not need continually help? From what we were hearing this morning of the fears that were coming our way, of the enemy's lies that keep coming at us, the finger pointing of accusation that comes to us. We have the best friend you will ever have in the Holy Spirit that will come for you and fight these things for you. Not under your own strength and your own will, because you will not get anywhere. As we've heard with the testimonies this morning, it is through the will and the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in each, every one of us, that will stamp the lies of the enemy flat. He personally wants to dwell in each and every believer to give us a spiritual life, a spiritual outlook, and a spiritual feeling to how we go, because that's when the fruit of life will come. We are created to live in not the laws, not doctrinal religious stuff. We are created to live by the fruits of the Holy Spirit, created for love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and as I testified this morning, self-control. The Holy Spirit isn't here to make life comfortable for us. He's here like that wind to blow away the obstacles, because he understands what you and me are going through like a person. The obstacles that stop us living the way we're created to live, a life in abundance for Jesus, so we can bear much fruit for his glory. The persons of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is who the Holy Spirit is. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for your word, the power of your word. I don't know, I just feel as though it's been like an edited highlight of who you really are, Lord. So actually, I was going to pray this morning that as we go through our daily chores, our everyday lives, through these weeks and even months coming, Lord, I pray that you reveal to us who you really are, so we can move not in our own will, but empowered by the Holy Spirit, who wants the best for each and every one of us. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can build your church. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, we become a body of people. No matter what that part of the body you are so important to build his kingdom here on earth. So Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we realize that you are a person and not some myth or misunderstanding. And I thank you, Lord, that you just basically love us. And we just want to continue to praise your name, give you glory, know who we are, where we are identified as a child of God. So, Lord, empower us, each and every one of us, to do your will and to do your work as we go forward. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. If we could finish with a song, that would be great.